Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you standing firmly on the promises of God? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, are you standing on that promise? The Lord is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Hebrews chapter 6, are you standing on that promise? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, Jude verse 24, are you standing on that promise? An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Are you standing on the promises of God? Can I tell you that God's promises are conditional? Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit of God through the Word wants me to understand, if I'm standing, if I'm believing on a promise that God never made to me, it only will invite disappointment. God's promises are conditional. By grace, through faith. Faith of obedience. The obedience of faith, Romans chapter 1. God's promises are conditional. Good morning and welcome to all who are here. Again, those that we have as visitors, we're delighted to have you. I say to you, welcome. Surely encouraged not just by your presence, but especially by your participation in this period of worship. Good morning and welcome. Good to have our brother Billy Sadir. I hope it's okay to call you TG. I'm better with TG. I can do that well. So good to be with him last night and again today on the Lord's Day. Looking forward to our brother and what he will have to say to share with us tonight. And so appreciate the work that he does in difficult places, under difficult situations and circumstances in the kingdom. The faith that we share, the love that we share, the bond that we share in Christ. What a blessing, what a privilege. Glad to have you with us today, brother. Philippians chapter 4, let's go to the text of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4. I want us to see some passages, the book of Philippians and in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians 4, verse 1 from the New King James Version. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. These are Christians, saints in Jesus Christ. My joy and my crown. Philippians 4 and verse 1. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 and verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is point, since there is virtue and praiseworthiness, you are to think and meditate on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's interesting to me in this context that Paul highlights the peace of God and connects that to the God of peace. And as you see him beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says in chapter 4 and verse 1, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, stand firm in the Lord, Philippians 4 and verse 1. And then he gets to verse 4 and he says, rejoice in the Lord. And the two admonitions to stand firm in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord, I believe he's connecting together as he's wanting them to consider this God of peace. The Apostle Paul refers to God as a God of peace here in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 refers to God being a God of all comfort. And to the Romans in Romans 15 and verse 13, he refers to God, the God of hope. And he says in Romans 15 and verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Is Philippians 4 about joy and peace? Absolutely. Is Philippians 4 about God, the God of comfort, who will help equip us and enable us to stand firm? Absolutely. I want you to see in Romans 15 and verse 13, however, that Paul speaks about a God of hope, and he says, now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Are you trusting in Him? Joy, peace, comfort. Are you trusting in Him? Is there physical manifestations? Is there some fruit in my life today that I can point to today that says, I am trusting in God. I am walking by faith. Could you prove, could you demonstrate in some measurable way that you are trusting in God, so that now as a result of your faith in God, your trust in God, He will do what He has promised to do, fill you with all joy and peace. See, the title this morning has to do with standing firm. That was Philippians 4 and verse 1. Standing firm in the Lord. Standing firm in a fallen world. I did not have to tell you that we live in a fallen world. As a result of living in a fallen world, people making choices to follow darkness, people deciding not to follow Jesus, but to follow themselves. People, as a result of choosing sin over righteousness, and they bring consequences into their life and consequences into our lives. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the kind of world in which we live. And because this world is a fallen world, it is filled and fraught, not just with disease, but is filled and fraught with pain and difficulties, challenges, trials and troubles that, yes, will test our faith. On four occasions, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, very quickly Paul, on four occasions, encourages and exhorts these brethren to stand, to withstand in the evil day, to stand strong, to stand firm. But what do we need to do? Is there some prescription that we can take? Is there something that we can do on a daily basis to make sure that our faith will grow stronger, to make sure that we will withstand in the evil day, that we can stand firm in the Lord and stand in His promises so that He will fill us with all joy and peace? What can we do? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4. We need to be praying. Right praying, continuing in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace, Paul says, will stand guard. And it stands guard over those two areas that create in our lives the greatest amount of inward turmoil, our hearts and our minds, the way we feel and the way we think. We need God's peace. I need God's peace to stand guard over my heart and my mind. To, in the words of Colossians 3 and verse 15, like an umpire to rule in my heart, to step in and decide what is to prevail. To stand firm, maybe for you today, is choosing to listen to God through His Word. To trust in God, what you know, fact. To trust in fact over feeling. Because feelings can be faulty. Feelings are not to be trusted. God is to be trusted. His Word is to be trusted. And as we pray in faith, as we persevere in our praying, Jesus spoke a parable, Luke 18 and verse 1, to them, that men should always pray and not lose heart. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says, in everything, through your praying. In everything through your praying. Continue in prayer. But not just continue in prayer. Control your thoughts, as we mentioned there. And again, look at the flow of thought. Finally, brethren, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, good report. He says those are the things that I am to think on. I prefer meditate. I prefer dwell on. And the point of that is, while yes, I am to call these things to mind today, I am to think on these things today, I am to think on these things regularly. I am to contemplate and dwell upon things that are true. Not what is imagined. Not what is fabricated. But what is reality. I am to ask God to help me to see things from His perspective. Now, what will help me to see things from God's perspective is to get in His Word and to dwell on His Word. But I'm asking God, God, help me to see things from Your perspective. And as I'm asking You to help me to see things from Your perspective, my prayer to You, my request of You, is to help me, to help my mind, to dwell today on what is fact. What is reality, not what is imagined. When Satan, who is a liar, when Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, seeks to destroy you by corrupting your thinking, recall to your mind what you know to be true regarding the reliability of God's nature and the integrity of God's character. Because my Heavenly Father has promised, and I know He cannot lie, His nature is that He is faithful. Because I know that God, You are faithful, and that You cannot lie. Because I trust in You, I can trust in Your promise. I don't have to necessarily understand it. I understand You. My Heavenly Father has provided me with this. His power will always be sufficient. His wisdom is always superior. What I know is He loves me. What I know is He is for me. Romans chapter 8. My goal as a preacher is to take the most powerful message, because its origin, its source is divine, of God, is to take the most powerful message, connect it to God, His nature and His integrity, and fill the hearts of people with hope. But we have to. I have to take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I have to take every thought captive so that it obeys Christ. And that can be a challenge, at least for me. Things that are true, things that are honorable, worthy of respect. Simply not thinking about what is cheap and vulgar, what is materialistic and temporary, what has no lasting sustenance and value to it. Things that are just and right. Right referring both to my relationship with God and my relationship with fellow man. What is pure, what is lovely, what is agreeable, what will promote peace and harmony in my life and in the lives of others. What is of good report, what is excellent or praiseworthy. If action follows thought, and we know that it does, and the Holy Spirit's admonition here through Paul is to stand firm in the Lord, then if I am to stand firm, if you are to stand firm in the Lord, I have to allow my mind to dwell on God and what is eternal. Not on self and what is temporary. Continue in prayer. Right praying. Control your thoughts. Right thinking. And then Paul says, the Apostle Paul, consecrate your living, your life. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do or practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. While our thoughts shape our actions, we must recognize the significance of applying these virtues, letting our lives be governed and controlled by what is true and honorable and right, pure and lovely and of good report. The Apostle John says it this way, 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Sometimes we misunderstand. Sometimes I misunderstand that passage because I equate righteousness with sinless perfection. And the Holy Spirit of God does not do that. But there's a difference between someone who's wanting to do right and seeking to do right versus the other person that says, oh, well, come what may. I'll give it a shot here. You know this morning. You know this morning whether or not you want your life to be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this morning whether or not you want your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit revealed Word of God. You know this morning whether or not your mind, your heart dwells and thinks about things that are spiritual rather than things that are carnal. You know. Paul said the things that you've learned and heard and received and seen in me, do. I tell you what I have found myself doing, as uncomfortable as it can be. Could Could I make that same request of you that the Apostle Paul made of the Philippian church? Could I this morning say to you the things that not only you've heard me preach from this pulpit for 14 years, and not only the things that you've heard me teach for over 10 years, but the things that you've seen. Now I've moved into not just following what I teach, but following what I do. That makes us think a bit, doesn't it? That challenges us even more, doesn't it? Doesn't it? To say, follow me. Now, the Apostle Paul would say, follow me because or as I follow Christ. So if I am to say, imitate me and imitate me, hopefully the point that I'm making in all of this is as you look at my life and as you follow my life, because my life is conformed to that of Jesus Christ, it's worthy of following. Are you here this morning? Would you be okay with someone this week living this week the way you lived last week? Would you be okay with that? Would you be okay with someone this week who lived the way you lived last week? If not, why not? Paul's point in saying all of these things is not to draw attention to himself, but draw people's attention to the God of hope, joy, and peace. The God of hope, joy, and peace. How's your praying? How's your thinking? How's your living? How's your praying? How's your thinking? How is your living? If you're here this morning and you need your faith strengthened. Lean on God, trust in God, lean on His Word. Be thankful for His Spirit that can empower and educate and equip us for every good action and for every good thought. If we can pray with you, if we can encourage you by speaking to God on your behalf so that your faith will be strengthened, so that your hope will be renewed, we want to stand on your behalf before God's throne and petition Him for what you need today. Grace and mercy to help in time of need. But maybe you're here this morning and there's sin in your life. Sin is what has separated you from God. Sin has severed that relationship of fellowship with God. Turn from that sin. Repent of that sin. Stop carrying the sin. Repent. And if you're here this morning, you've yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus was who He said He was, the Christ of God, that you understand you cannot save yourself, only Jesus can save, and you're willing to trust by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you, to wash you clean of your sins, will you come in faith and in repentance by being immersed in water, baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have your sins forgiven? Can we help you to see the peace that comes by being in a right relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ? Whatever your need is that is spiritual, bring it to Jesus the Christ while together we stand and while we sing.